Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. It's AUDACY anywhere you get your apps at. Gives you the ability to take the radio show with you on the road with the free Odyssey app. You can hear the Sports Junkies Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. I use the rewind feature to rewind back to 6 a.m. and miss anything, catch up on anything I might have missed. Joining us right now, though, on the BetQL Best Hotline, sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. You can get 3 free days of access by downloading the app or visiting BetQL.com. It's David Harrison. What's up, David?
What's up, man? How you been?
I've been talking about how I'm having the most fun hosting a radio show my entire life here because we're talking about a decent football team. Are you having the most fun on the beat, man?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best time I've had, and it's the best time I've had in a while because even during my time covering the Buccaneers, their Super Bowl season was COVID season, so that wasn't nearly as fun. So, yeah, man, it's been a lot of good football, and it's been cool. I've been reminding my listeners, too, like, you know, your football eyes are laying eyes on things that a lot of people haven't seen in a really long time or perhaps ever in some cases.
So give us a few reasons why the offense can continue to be this successful. Cleveland's a good defensive squad.
Yeah, Cleveland is a good defensive squad, but I think one of the things that Washington is doing this season that's been so effective is somewhat simplistic in the idea, but, you know, a little bit rare, at least in the execution. I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury is the first offensive coordinator to ever do it, but, you know, got to give a shout-out to Dan Orlovsky. I think he was the first national media member to really latch onto it. But that not just the tempo in the no-huddle offense, but also the variation in the no-huddle offense. You know, he kind of pointed out, and we've seen it over these weeks, that, you know, pretty much every team has some sort of no-huddle ability if they need it, and some use it more than others, but not a lot of teams are using, you know, the same personnel packages in no-huddle, but then coming out in different formations in those same personnel groupings. And what that really does is it creates problems on defense because you can show them somewhat simplistic looks on offense in your formations, but because you're doing it in real time and you're doing it with no hesitation in between and no opportunity for the defense to kind of say, okay, I've seen this before. You're not giving them the opportunity to fully get set for that simplistic look, and that gives you that extra leg up.
And David, also, you know, you got to mention the fact that they're able to run the ball successfully. It feels like 2012 in that aspect that, hey, we're able to really run the ball successfully on first and 10, which is opening up the playbook, and then we can go back to it on third and short as well.
Oh, yeah, that run game has been great, and I think that, you know, along with that, this offensive line, you know, deserves a big hat tip. I think that we all kind of came into the off-season training camp period and whatnot worried about what this group was going to look like, the consistency of it, and all that stuff. And even with the rotating left tackles, I know a lot of us weren't necessarily on board with. That O-line looks a lot better than we've expected it to. I think some of that certainly is leaning on the run game. You know, we all know O-linemen love run blocking more than anything. And some of that is Jaden Daniels' decision-making, getting away from some of the pressures that do come in. But ultimately, man, the whole operation is working really smooth, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
How do you feel about Brian Robinson dealing with that injury? You know, a limited Brian Robinson, better than probably a lot of running backs in the NFL, and I think they're going to rely on Austin Ekeler as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like Brian's probably going to play. You know, like you just kind of mentioned, there might be a little bit of a snap limit, or they may just kind of play it smart and, you know, look, if we're up 10 or up 13, maybe we lean on Austin and Jeremy McNichols a little bit more than we usually would. But I feel like he's gonna go at least.
We mentioned that Dan Quinn, I absolutely love that he does week-by-week captains. Dorrance Armstrong, Jeremy Chinn certainly stepped up the last few weeks. Jaden Daniels named captain for the first time. What do you think about that?
I mean, he deserves it, right? I mean, it's one more accolade. I know he's not going to get a trophy for it, but after all the trophies he collected in the month of September, why not? You know, coming back home, it's going to be really interesting because, you know, last time we saw this team at home, 7 field goals. Granted, it was a win, but a lot of frustrations and concern about, you know, they can't punch it in and can't, you know, execute in the red zone and all these things. And now coming back home, it's a totally different story. So, yeah, I mean, the crowd is going to be there for Jaden anyway. So might as well just hit the easy button on that one. They're all going to have eyes on 5 anyway. So
yeah,
just make it happen.
Yeah, but he deserves it, right? Like, that was real maturity in that game against the Cardinals. Real improvement with the touchdown passes, right? I just thought he hung in the pocket, was really impressive. And you saw the defense kind of turn a corner. You think that's going to be a building block for them this week against the Browns?
You know, I hope so, because, you know, a lot of that boiled down to communication, being in the right place, and then when the play came your way, making the right play and doing the right thing. Certainly still some missed tackles. I think every defense has, you know, a missed tackle here or there every week, and he worked towards trying to get that perfected. But I think you have to be happy with what you saw, and, you know, at least statistically, and, I mean, even when you turn on the tape, like, I didn't come away from watching Arizona Cardinals tape thinking that, oh, man, this offense is too much for this defense to handle. It was really just more so how much was the defense going to be able to clean up on their end, and they did well. And then you look at the Cleveland Browns, and statistically, they're worse in every category than the Cardinals offense. Operationally, they don't look any better than the Arizona Cardinals offense. Certainly, they might get some guys back on the offensive line. Maybe David Njoku is going to be out there for a little while. But, you know, those things, if the Washington Commanders defense can come out with the same mindset, play the same type of clean football they played against Arizona, that shouldn't be such a big difference that, you know, they end up losing a game that they should win.
How much does Johnny Newton and Fedarian Mathis getting snaps help out Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, in your mind?
I mean, I think keeping your defensive line as fresh as possible is always going to be key, right? And those guys obviously are valuable rotational pieces to keep those starters as fresh as possible and try to give them the opportunities to play late in the game and step up in critical moments. But I think you also look at a guy like Dorrance Armstrong Jr., who got somewhat limited opportunities in Dallas, made good use of the opportunities. Now that he's a starter in Washington, I think the beginning of the season, first 3 weeks, not maybe the performance obviously that he wanted, probably not the performance that Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn envisioned when they brought him over here from Dallas with them. But then, you know, steps up pretty big against the Arizona Cardinals. Hopefully that's a step in the right direction, because it's a big difference when you're playing the majority of the snaps versus, you know, playing the minority of snaps, going from being that guy that keeps the starter fresh to being the starter who needs to be kept fresh. That's a different role. So I think that the more we see Dorrance fold in there, and the more of those rotational pieces can be impactful, the better off the defense will be, you know, across the board.
David Harrison with us here on the BetQL Guest Hotline. A secret sauce for the Commanders this season has been wide receiver Noah Brown. He was inactive week one. They're undefeated with him in the lineup. He's now out with an injury. How does that affect the offense?
I mean, it could be big. You know, like, you don't want to give too much credit to one guy in the ultimate team sport, but Noah Brown has been absolutely instrumental and actually, you know, leads the league among qualifying receivers and successful catch rate. His successful catch rate is 90%. Like, 90% of the time, this dude is getting the appropriate yardage that you need for the down and distance you're facing. That type of a weapon is incredibly valuable for any offense. But, you know, it's been kind of a, like, that number two receiver thing. I asked Dan Quinn about it earlier this week. Like, you know, you've got Terry McLaurin. Your number two is kind of a down-to-down, drive-to-drive guy. And is that a problem internally, or is that just something that we focus on externally? He flat out said, I'm going to let you guys out there worry about that, because at the end of the day, as long as they have another person, whether it be Zach, whether it be Olamide, Luke McCaffrey from time to time, you know, as long as somebody is stepping up to give Jaden Daniels some targets outside of just Terry McLaurin, who, you know, I think still leads the league in air yardage share for his team. As long as there's someone when Jaden needs him, you know, then that's going to be beneficial. But also, I mean, Jaden is his own second weapon, right? His legs are his own second weapon as well. So if another one of those receivers is not stepping up and can't get separation for whatever reason, then Jaden always has that, you know, that tool in his back pocket as well.
David, Jaden Daniels, top of the league in terms of completion percentage. Towards the bottom is Deshaun Watson. He just hasn't been good this year for the Cleveland Browns. But they've got legit weapons at wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper. So it's not going to be, you know, an easy matchup for our corners. They're going to have to step up here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the best way to shore up a weak offensive line is moving the pocket, and you have a quarterback that is obviously mobile and has the ability to escape and extend plays, and then quick passes. So that's what the Washington Commanders defense should be expecting to face, you know, and the problem with that is the more you expect it, the more you play up, the more you play aggressive, the more you bite on moves, and then, you know, if they feel confident they can give Deshaun enough time, you can potentially get victimized by a double move or something like that. And those are things that just, as part of the chess match of the game, because I agree with you. I feel like, you know, Deshaun, like you mentioned, you know, near the bottom of the league in completion percentage, he's actually the second worst quarterback in successful pass rate right behind or right ahead of Bryce Young, who obviously isn't playing, so that's a concern for any quarterback. But I think, honestly, it's mostly because of the offensive line injuries. Those offensive line injuries in Cleveland have caused opposing defenses to be able to get a good amount of pressure, and those aren't letting his routes develop and letting him have the time he needs to complete passes. So if they do get a little bit healthier this week, you know, they might have Jack Conklin out there for the first time. I think the first time this year, at least not the first time in a while. Also, Jedrick Wills. You know, Wills isn't necessarily a stud, but he's certainly better than what they've had out there already. So, you know, if that happens and if this defensive line kind of regresses a little bit from last year or last week, then, yeah, the secondary – I mean, bottom line is they got to come out there expecting to do their part, be sticky, stay in coverage so that if the defense needs 4 seconds to get to the quarterback, the coverage can give it to them.
We've seen Washington for the first time since 1991 put up back-to-back games with 38-plus points. How many do you think they score at home against the Browns?
So my prediction is 28-20 Washington over Cleveland. So, you know, not quite that mark, but at the same time, man, I mean, I picked Washington to beat Arizona, but I only picked them to win by 4 points, and they shocked the heck out of me there, and you know, so don't count them out from hitting that mark again.
Yeah, I'm with you on getting 28, right? Like, I think Cleveland will limit us, but I still think we score more than 21. They haven't gone over 18 so far this season.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting again. I'm kind of leaning towards the Browns being a little bit healthier this week, and if that happens, I think you see a little bit more of that, you know, that talent, quote unquote, on paper. Because remember coming into the season, right? The AFC North was supposed to be the most, you know, the most competitive division in football and perhaps the best division of football from top to bottom. And the Bengals had their struggles. Now the Browns are having their struggles. But, again, I think a lot of the Browns' struggles are largely due to some of the injuries they've dealt with. And they're getting healthier, which they look to be. I think you're certainly going to see a better version of the Browns than maybe their previous opponents have so far.
David, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't change that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio, at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we will read it on air. I want to hear from you, Commanders fans, right now. What's it going to take for Washington to keep the momentum and get to 4-1 for the first time since 2008? And if this is going to be a pro-Commanders crowd on Sunday or not, if you're going to the game, give me a call. 1-800-636-1067. Because I think there's a huge difference in the NFL between a 3-1 football team and a 4-1 football team. 4-1 teams are legit. And playoff chances shoot up to 70%. And I also think this is a chance for Washington to tell the entire league, to tell the NFL, hey, we're legit this year, and we're going to win games that were favored this season. We're going to take advantage of home field advantage, and we're going to defeat teams that we're better than. Right? We're better than the Arizona Cardinals. I hope we're better than the Cleveland Browns. I know we're better than the Panthers and the Chicago Bears. Those are the other games that are must-win games this season if you want to prove that you are a really improved franchise. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio. Dwayne says, AWOD, you prevent a trap game for the Commanders against the Browns by having Cliff and Jaden staying ahead of the chains by taking what the defense gives them, also having the defense make the Browns earn every down. As far as having tape on Jaden, the league has had 7 years on Mahomes and still can't stop him. I do think you make a great point about staying ahead of the chains. That's the reason the offense has been so effective this year. It's B-Rob, it's Eckler, it's McNichols, it's Jaden as well. Just getting a few yards and avoiding the negative play, right? Three straight positive plays, you're going to most likely either get the first down or have a fourth and one. And they've also converted. I think they're 9 of 9 on fourth down this season. Lil Prime tweets me, AWOD, it just shows you how much of a laughing stock this franchise was. It's been 4 games, and now you say you have a star quarterback. Maybe I should pump the brakes a little bit, but look around the league. Everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels. Everybody's crowning him and naming him a star already. And I'm not going to say that, but I will say that we have a perfect marriage right now between a offense coordinator that's hungry and a quarterback that wants to learn and get better. And I think that's what you're seeing Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels. Cliff has done a great job of game planning and scheming things so that Jaden doesn't have to make very tough reads. And like we said, we've been able to stay ahead of the chain, so they're not dealing with these third and 15s that Sam Howell's doomed for most of last season, it felt like. It's just, that's the truth, right? Last season, we had so many third and incredibly long. Well, this year, you haven't had that so far. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mike in D.C. What's up, Mike?
What's up, A1? How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. Just a couple things. First one, offensively, I'd love to see Eckler get more touches and really go to the tight end. But really what I'd like to see is I'd like to see us really start to play aggressive defense in terms of blitzing more and getting into Sean Watson's head. And if we can get a couple turnovers early, I just feel like he's going to fold. And the momentum will all swing toward the Commanders. But I just want to see this defense kind of develop a culture and an attitude like the Seattle Seahawks used to, where we're just, you know, playing really aggressive defense. And I think Deshaun's a perfect opportunity to kind of go after him. So
yeah.
Just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I did think that you saw the defense improve with their blitzes against the Cardinals. I'd like to see them take the next step here against the Browns. I want to see Frankie Louvu blitz. That guy's been electric, Mike.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. Thanks for calling, man. Appreciate you chiming in. Look, we have a lot of building blocks right now. The offense is one of the hottest offenses in the league. And now, finally, the defense got some stops and got off the field. And we continue to not need Tressway. It's unbelievable. This guy's been a team MVP for like 10 years in terms of how much usage we've had. And now he doesn't even need to play except for holding the field goal there and on the extra points. It's just been so wild to see how efficient this offense has been. It's been so much fun to watch, man. It has been one of those things where I feel like anytime we get the ball, we have a chance to score, right? And that's so important in the NFL. Look at how much time of possession the Commanders have had through the first 4 weeks of the season. I'd love for that to continue as well. This is a chance here to really make a statement, get to 4-1, stay on top of the division, and just win your home games, right? Win your home games, win the games you're favored in, and at the end of the season, we could be talking about a playoff team here. It's year one of the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn era, and I don't want to get over myself already, but we're talking about a team here that is playing really well. It's a last-place schedule, right? We talked about that in the offseason. That's an advantage for them. It's a last-place schedule. They've got a lot of winnable games at home. Some of the tough games on the road, they already played, right? The Bucks, tough road game. Bengals, Monday Night Football, tough road game, and they were able to win that Bengals one. We got a lot of momentum right now, 3 wins in a row. What's it going to take for Washington to keep the momentum, make it 4 wins in a row, and get to 4-1 for the first time since 2008? We're going to first do AWOD's film review here of Jaden Daniels through the first 4 weeks of the season. How is Cliff Kingsbury making it easy for him? What are some things that Jaden can improve on? Because as good as he's been, and believe me, if you watch ESPN, they think he's been the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. They won't stop talking about Jaden Daniels. They're gushing over Jaden. But as good as he's been, he's still left some meat on the bone. All right, he's still left some plays out there on the field that he can improve on next week or this weekend. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. We are live here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 and take the radio show with you on the road with that free Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. AWOD's film review coming up next on The Fan. Welcome back. What up? It's AWOD here on a Saturday, October 5th, just after 10:30 this morning. Can the Washington Commanders get to 4-1 for the first time since 2008? I started the show by saying this, and I just got a couple tweets and some texts from friends listening. It does feel like Commanders, Skins fans, football team fans are having the best time of their lives right now this season because of this franchise. For years, we watched a team play, and every Sunday, I'd be depressed. And then every Friday, I'd feel like my team would win again, and then we'd lose. And it was like a cycle that we went through. And it's just so impressive to see this team have so much efficiency right now on the offensive end. They are coming off of back-to-back games in which they scored 38-plus points for the first time since 1991. So, yeah, I am having the most fun of my entire life. So are you if you're younger than 35. It's just been so impressive with the way the Commanders' offense has been. And a lot of that has to do with Jane Daniels, but I think the credit really needs to go to Cliff Kingsbury because of how easy he's making things for his young quarterback. Colt McCoy played a lot of games in his NFL career and even suited up for the Washington Redskins from 2014 to 2019. One huge victory over the Dallas Cowboys. We'll all love and remember Colt McCoy for that. And he's now retired, serving as an analyst for NBC, and he threw for nearly 8,000 yards, 34 touchdowns during his professional career. So he certainly knows how to play the quarterback position. He made a lot of money as a successful backup in the NFL. But like I said, when Cliff Kingsbury was in Arizona, he worked with Colt McCoy and Kyler Murray. They were having an incredible year. Kyler got hurt. Colt McCoy came in and won two straight games. So he knows a little bit about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. And so I really enjoyed this video I watched online this week of Cliff Kingsbury's offense being broken down by Colt McCoy. And he was just so impressed with Jaden Daniels. But he explains in detail why they've been able to have so much success. And look, when you watch the film, if you watch the film or if you just rewatch the game, because that's what I did. I mean, that game against the Cardinals was so amazing. I just rewatched it from start to finish. Jaden is executing Cliff's offense so well. Cliff is scheming people to be wide open at times. Jaden still got more plays to make. And then the rushing game has been able to help out the passing attack here, and you got to see how many different personnel groups they've used, and not just used, but used successfully, which confuses the defense, get everyone in your offense involved. That's a big part of why I like Cliff's offense so far, right? We all wanted to see more Ben Sennett. All three tight ends were involved last week. Almost every single receiver was involved. All the running backs that are healthy, right? We're seeing awesome teamwork on display as Cliff is shuffling guys in and out of the lineup. So we're going to do a little AWOD's film review here on The Fan. Here's Colt McCoy explaining Cliff's masterclass against the Arizona Cardinals, his former team.
Everybody talks about Cliff Kingsbury and the air raid attack and like spread them out, push the ball out. Cliff had a masterclass against the Arizona Cardinals this week. If you just look at the first drive of the game, he played 10 personnel, 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, 22 personnel. And I'm going to show you one right here where we call it 0-1 personnel. So there's no backs, one tight end, and four receivers on the field. And essentially, Arizona just never had an answer for all these different personnel groupings. So it was pretty fun to watch. He was a step ahead almost the entire game.
And as Arizona would adjust and put more guys in the box there when Washington went heavy, they had a counter for that. And then when they spread it out and Arizona went zone, Colt McCoy will explain, they had a counter for that. They were able to have Noah Brown and Zacchaeus run two different routes so that only one guy can't guard both of them. Here's Colt McCoy again on Cliff Kingsbury.
Noah Brown basically inside stems his route. The corner and the linebacker run into each other. And, you know, you get a 16-yard gain on the first third down of the game on a just easy rhythm out route. Okay, that's elite, right? That's just, we're going to do something that beats what you play against us, right? We're not just going to line up. Cliff has this, you know, stigma that we're just going to throw, you know, go balls down the field and air raid it out. No. This is by design, and it's perfectly executed.
Personnel groups they're using, they're able to go heavy and run it, they're able to spread it out, and that's elite offensive coordinator work right there by Cliff Kingsbury. The first third down of the game, Cardinals players run into each other, and Jaden has a wide open receiver. It's his first read, he knows exactly where he's going, and that would continue throughout the game. And it wasn't just one guy, right? Jaden Daniels got nine different receivers involved. The Arizona Cardinals did not know who to guard against Washington last week. Here's Colt McCoy about the nine different guys catching passes.
Exactly. I mean, listen, nine guys caught a pass last week. They're rotating in and out, all these different personnel groupings, and that just shows you the maturity of Jaden. Yeah, there was some hiccups early on. They snuck out a game by kicking seven field goals, right? But now they're slowly starting to like get a good feel for each other. Jaden's obviously trusting the things that Cliff is calling.
And I really like how Jaden Daniels, it feels like he's using his experience to help him. You know, this is a guy that played a ton of college football. I talked about the VR headset. That's extra reps. It's a guy that loves extra reps, and he's so humble, all right? And so you know he's going to continue to work on his game here. And then I just love this from Cliff Kingsbury. I didn't see this when I was watching the game, and then when I watched it back on film, I was like, that's so impressive. So obviously, this game, you're without Austin Ekeler. So you got to find a way to have another receiver do Austin Ekeler-type things. Well, that ended up being OZ Oz from Virginia, Olamide Zaccheaus. Colt McCoy explains how Cliff hid the receiver in the backfield.
Okay, love when coordinators do this. They're hiding their receiver in the backfield. Now, who has him? He looks like a running back. He's just stood there like a statue since they broke the huddle. Okay, so much confusion. You got to point him out. You got to know where you're at. They've been hit with everything so far. Play actions, quick game, keepers. Quarterback runs. Now it's 3rd and 5 again. They went 0-1 personnel twice on them. Now they're back in 11, but now the receiver's in the backfield. They just don't know who to guard. This is a very simple play.
Jaden knows who's going to be open, and it's because of the hard work he's put in with Cliff Kingsbury. And you can see when you watch the game, if that guy's not open, boom, he moves to the next read. Boom, he moves to the next read. He's really been smooth with the way he goes through his progressions right there. But that play, you kind of have to watch it to really see it. But Zaccheaus is in the backfield, and then the linebacker who's trying to defend him, you know, he just beats him to the spot, which is basically the sideline. So he beats him to the sideline, and then he's wide open to run down the sideline for 20 yards there. And that's just the execution. That's the game plan from Cliff Kingsbury saying, hey, look, we know you're going man, all right? If you're going to put the corner on Zaccheaus, well, then McLaurin's going to be open. If you're going to have the linebacker guard Zaccheaus, we're just going to give it to Zaccheaus because we know you can't guard him, right? And that was the game plan from Cliff over and over and over again, right? They'd go heavy. All right, Arizona's got to bring more people into the box. Boom, they play action out of it. Oh, they're going to go light. Arizona's going to spread it out. Well, they didn't do a good enough job getting the right personnel group in there because he's going to take advantage of either a tight end against a linebacker or a slot wide receiver against a linebacker. He was a step ahead all game long, and you can see it on tape when you watch it, Washington against the Arizona Cardinals. Colt McCoy knows all about it because he played for Washington and he played for Cliff on the Arizona Cardinals. Here's Colt McCoy explaining just how Cliff was one step ahead of Arizona.
I mean, I can't remember a quarterback completing this high percentage of passes in a very long time, maybe ever. But Cliff is certainly playing to the strengths of his offense. He's got three good tight ends that can play, a couple young guys, but they're very good blocking. They do create some downhill run game problems in that personnel grouping, but they can clearly pass it out of that formation too. Cliff is getting real cute with his formations and his personnel groupings and where he lines guys up, and guys just aren't busting. They know where to be. They're well coached on their schematics and how they're going to attack defenses. And like I mentioned earlier, it's just they were one step ahead of the Cardinals the whole time. I mean, the Cardinals eventually got to the point where they're saying, all right, let's put 8 guys in coverage because we don't know where it's going, or let's just all out blitz them. And he handled both of those situations very well.
It's so nice to see a Washington offense that's coach so well to the point where they know where they need to be on the field. It's funny. It's that attention to detail that Eric Bieniemy was preaching last year. You're seeing that with Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, and the 2024 Washington Commanders. But as Colt kind of said there at the end, the reason they're having so much success with all these different personnel groups is because they've proven they can run and they can throw with whatever look they give you. Right, and so you see, oh, they've got 3 tight ends here. You think they're going to run the ball. Boom, they play action off of that. They'd have been able to run with just B-Rob in the backfield, with just McNichols in the backfield, with just Austin Ekeler, with a combination of the two, like we mentioned, with a wide receiver in the backfield as well to fake out the defense. There's so many different looks that they've shown already this season, and they're going to keep going back to those. And then they're going to change it up a little bit, right, and kind of give you a remix of a play that worked the week before. And so the defense is going to think, oh, we saw this on tape last week. But no, now it's going to the opposite side of the field, as Cliff Kingsbury has really just been a step ahead of defensive coordinators so far this year. Except for that Todd Bowles game, right? You got to give Todd Bowles and the Bucs a lot of credit. They blitzed all night long and disrupted what we wanted to do, but we still scored 20 points in that game, and the Browns haven't gotten over 18. Give me the Washington Commanders to get the win. I'll tell you why when I give out the keys to victory and pathway to success, and we'll still go behind enemy lines with a Browns reporter today on AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in, it's easy. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. What's it going to take for the Commanders to get to 4-1 for the first time since 2008? Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I appreciate you making me part of your Saturday morning routine. One of my favorite things is to get up here on Saturdays and do this show, talking with all the DC sports fans in the DMV. If you want to chime in, phone lines are always open. It is 1-800-636-1067. Phone lines are always open because that's the reason I got into sports radio. My dad let me borrow his phone after the Commanders would lose a game, mostly losses, and I would, you know, complain about why we didn't do this or do that. And so that was how I got into sports radio. So phone lines are always open if you want to chime in and talk Commanders. 1-800-636-1067. But should let all the listeners know, can't sleep in tomorrow if you want to watch football. And you need to set your fantasy lineup early, because there's a 9:30 game from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. As we go around the NFL with NFL hits, I'm going to pick some winners here on The Fan. So we've got a 9:30 game on the NFL Network, and Sam Darnold is the real star in this matchup that's going over to London, right? They send all their famous soccer players to America, and we get to see their stars. Well, we're sending Sam Darnold and the 4-0 Minnesota Vikings. But you know what? I think Aaron Rodgers needed to get out of the country. I think Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are going to win this game, because the Jets' defense is awesome, and the Vikings just have not faced a really good defense so far this season. I think they're going to be able to stop Sam Darnold. They're going to be able to force some turnovers. The Jets squeak out a win in a low-scoring game. 1 p.m. on Fox. The dud game of the week in my mind is the Carolina Panthers against the Chicago Bears. When the schedule came out, they said Bryce Young against Caleb Williams, he's going to be a star by then. Well, Caleb's got 4 interceptions to just 3 touchdowns. The Bears are 2-2, and the Panthers already benched Bryce Young a couple weeks into this season. So I'm going to go with this being a very low-scoring game. I'm not even going to touch who wins this game. I'm going to just say under the total of 40.5. I expect both offenses to continue to struggle. Ravens-Bengals, man. Both teams are desperate for a win in this one, right? So both teams thought they'd be competing for the division and the AFC. They're both chasing the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. Ravens on the road. Bengals are more desperate at home. I think the Bengals get the win. I just don't see the Bengals getting into the playoffs if they fall to 1-4. But if they win this game, they're even with the Ravens. Both teams are 2-3. Give me the Bengals because they're the more desperate franchise. 1 p.m. on Fox, Dolphins-Patriots. That is an ugly game. It is the lowest total of the week at 35.5. Jacoby Brissett has just not looked good. It's really been surprising because I thought he was good for Washington last year. Ramondre Stevenson was their best player. Now it looks like they benched him for coughing the ball up, which is a weird situation there. Miami, you know, obviously we're all praying that Tua could maybe play football again and be healthy, but that's not going to be anytime soon. Their backup got hurt, so it's Tyler Snoop Huntley, the former Ravens quarterback, in there for the Dolphins. They couldn't do anything offensively. I kind of think the Patriots win this game. I think they're a better defense, and they're going to be able to stop the Dolphins, and they'll do just enough offensively. We'll touch on Browns Commanders later. We'll go to Colts Jaguars. Every week on AWOD Radio, I do a head coach's hot seat. Doug Peterson's at the top of the list on the hot seat here. He's got to win this game. And so I will pick Jacksonville to win this game. Look, they're at home against a Colts team that turns the ball over a ton every week. No Anthony Richardson again, Joe Flacco in there. So maybe the Colts offense will be better, but I just think Jacksonville's the most desperate team in the country right now for a win. Their coach knows he could be fired if the losses continue to pile up. They're 0-4. They're 0-1 at home. They get the first win of the season over the Colts. Bills-Texans. Sound the alarms, Chris. Sound the alarms. That is AWOD's certified NFL game of the weekend. I guarantee everyone doesn't have time to watch all the games going on Sunday and Monday Night Football. That's why I guarantee one game every week will be worth your viewing standards. Bills-Texans, absolutely a banger of a game. You get the Stephon Diggs revenge game. You get the matchup of two of the top quarterbacks in the AFC in Josh Allen and C.J. Stroud. You get a battle of two running backs there that have been playing well. With Cook, and then I guess for the Texans, it won't be Joe Mixon, it'll be Cam Akers, but still, they've been able to run the ball. Nico Collins is sneaky having the best season of any wide receiver in the NFL right now, with already 489 yards in just four games. But give me Buffalo. Give me Josh Allen to win this game here, but I did lock in also Stephon Diggs' touchdown, anytime touchdown in his revenge game going against his former employer. Raiders-Broncos, Mile High Stadium. I'm not interested in this game at all. I'm really not. It's not a dud game because one of these teams is going to have an above 500 record after this. Like, how is that possible? Either the Raiders are going to be at 3-2 or the Broncos are going to be 3-2. Denver's defense is better than I expected them to be. They're still awful offensively, and, you know, Bo Nix is kind of running around doing nothing. I do think Denver at home, they'll win this game. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post locked this in as his lock of the week for Broncos. He thinks that Mile High is just so tough for people early in the season. Vegas traveling to Mile High. We're taking the Broncos. Let's ride. Cardinals, 49ers, 4:05 on Fox. I thought I saw this line earlier at like 8.5. It's now 7. I liked the Cardinals when it was higher. I just think that Kyler Murray's better than he played against the Washington Commanders, and the 49ers are without so many of their stars. Juwan Jennings, though, has turned into a star this season. I think the 49ers will win, but I'm going to say Arizona makes it a game. I'll take the over 49.5. I think there will be some points scored in that one. Rams, Packers. Rams have just been really beat up this year without their wide receivers. Packers, Jordan Love hasn't won a game this year, right? He played week 1 and week 4. They lost them both. I think he gets his first win of the season on the road, SoFi Stadium, Inglewood, California, against the Rams. Man, what does Sean McVay do if the Rams fall to 1-4 on the year? It just feels like the injuries have just really derailed their season just one quarter into this year. Giants-Seahawks, that is my survivor pick. All right? Neil Greenberg's lock was the Broncos against the Raiders at Mile High. My survivor pick is Seattle at home, the 12 Lumen Field against the New York Giants. I really like what Seattle has done this season. It's similar to Washington in my mind, where you have a good quarterback with a good defensive-minded coach. I really thought that they played well. The Lions just were better than them. They still put up 29 points in the loss, 42-29. They had their chances. Defense didn't get a stop. Jared Goff was perfect, right? 18 of 18. And he caught a touchdown on a throw from Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I think Seahawks return home, get their momentum going. That's my lock of the week, is that they take down the G-men. A couple really good primetime matchups here. So Pittsburgh's at home. They're 3-1. They're at the top of the division. In comes the desperate Dallas Cowboys. Now 2-2 on the year, but they've won both of their games away from Jerry's World, winning at Cleveland and at the New York Giants. This will be their toughest test on the road this year against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just going to pick Pittsburgh because my heart wants the Cowboys to move below 500 and fall to 2-3. I hope Dak has a few turnovers, as Pittsburgh has really been able to get after quarterbacks defensively. But that's a good primetime game on NBC. I don't think that's going to be a snooze fest at all. Monday night, though, Saints at the Kansas City Chiefs. You're talking about the best offense in the NFL in terms of points scored in the New Orleans Saints, and offensive efficiency. They're right up there with the Washington Commanders in terms of points scored per drive. They're right behind us. And then you got the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, 5 interceptions in 4 games, and yet the Chiefs are 4-0, right? They don't even have any of their weapons. But it's going to be Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce. I think he has his first turnover-free game of the season. I got the Chiefs winning at home Monday Night Football over the New Orleans Saints. Your 4 teams on a bye. The Detroit Lions, the Titans, they needed that bye week. Nobody wants to watch Will Levis anymore. It was Mason Rudolph replacing him last week. The Chargers and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles will not play this week. So that means inside the NFC East, Washington can get to 4-1. Dallas, very tough game against the Steelers, but they could get to 3-2, or the Giants could get to 2-3. But nobody's touching Washington at the top of the NFC East. Even with a loss here, you would be even with the Dallas Cowboys. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Always fun here on a Saturday morning, and we've got 1 hour to go. If you want to chime in, it's 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. What are the strengths and the weaknesses for the Cleveland Browns? We'll go behind enemy lines coming up next on AWOD Radio.